Christ is precious, from Praise for the Lord.
Good morning and welcome to the program. I'm Tim McHenry, and we certainly hope that you can tune in each week at 8:30 on Sunday mornings to listen to this radio sermon. This morning I would like for us to focus on a passage in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapters 1 and 2, because I wish to speak to you about the exalted nature of our Lord Jesus Christ and how that He is indeed superior to anything and everything that we might think of Him being the Son of God. If you look in Hebrews 1 and 2, the basic gist of it is that beginning out the book of Hebrews, he is exclaiming that Jesus Christ is superior to the angels. Being superior to any angelic being, therefore, Jesus is not, as pictured by some people, an archangel like Michael, or an angel similar to Gabriel or others that you might read about of any kind of angelic being mentioned in the Scriptures. Although existing before he came to this earth, in, if you will, angelic form, that is, in spirit, that does not mean that Jesus Christ existed and was an angel, but instead is the eternal Word described in John chapter 1. And when we get to the book of Hebrews later on in the Bible, the aim of the Hebrew writer was to get us to see just how much God had put into the sending of Jesus Christ and how that Jesus Christ has developed a religion superior to, coming from someone superior to, anything that anyone could ever devise and that anything could ever produce other than God. Therefore, he says, Paul does in Galatians chapter 1, that though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. No one can produce the good news that God has given us except his own Son, Jesus Christ. So let us begin in a study of Hebrews chapter 1 and going on into Hebrews chapter 2 and see how that Jesus Christ is indeed the exalted Son of God, superior to any angelic being, and having in his nature something that can lead us unto eternal salvation, whereas none other could. It says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. These first two verses of the book of Hebrews describe to us the history of mankind as far as religious dispensations go. God at one time, when he first created man, only spoke to the individual family heads. For example, people like Adam and Noah, and as you go down in time, people like Job and so forth. God gave his will through the heads of family, and God instructed them, both in nations and families, how that they desired him to be served. God may send them seers or different people to show a city or a nation how they needed to behave. And as the history went down, eventually God had a single group of people, descendants of Abraham. And these Israelites God gave a special law to, the law of Moses. And, of course, they were instructed and were to follow the Old Testament law. Well, all of this happened in the former times, that is, in time past, unto the fathers by the prophets. But we are now living in later times, that is, the last days. There is no other Christian dispensation, nor other dispensation of any kind, which is to be given following these days of the church. We now live in a day and time in which God shows us through his Son exactly what he wants us to do, and having completed the written revelation of the Bible with the book of Revelation, we have nothing else to look forward to for the sending of any Savior, for the giving of any different covenant. Every single person on the face of this earth will be justified or will be condemned based upon the judging words of Jesus Christ, John 12, verse 48. Therefore, it behooves every one of us to pay attention to those words and to know that in these last or latter days has been spoken unto us the will of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. No matter what was said by any person before, Now it is only important what Jesus Christ has to give us as far as our law, what we follow as a matter of law. We indeed do have a law of Christ today. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2 speaks of us fulfilling the law of Christ in our work for helping other people and drawing them to Him. So certainly there is a law of Christ, and everyone has to follow it. Now what about this Jesus who has spoken unto us, and we are living in the latter or last days, and He is still speaking to us today through His Word? Well, it says concerning Him in Hebrews 1 verse 3, who being the brightness of His glory, that is, He is the brightness, the expression of the brightness of God, if you will, the express image of His person. This once again expresses the closeness of the bond between Father and Son, that they are of the same essence, if you will. And upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, now Jesus accomplished that, of course, on the cross for us, He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Therefore, Jesus Christ reigns today from the throne of God, showing us exactly what He wants us to do in service unto Him in His kingdom. Therefore, the Bible speaks of us as having been translated into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. And in this exalted nature of Christ, we find everything that we need to guide us unto eternal life. There is nothing lacking in the will of Jesus Christ. There is nothing lacking in His sacrifice for us. Jesus paid the price, and He paid it all. Therefore, all of those who will listen unto His will, and in obedience unto the law of Christ and His good news or gospel, they will be saved. And I am so thankful unto God that I personally have been saved in obedience unto that message. And if you are listening today as a Christian, it is because, having believed on the gospel of Jesus Christ, you have responded to His word, and under the words of the Son of God, you have repented of your sins, you have confessed your faith in Him, and you have been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Therefore, you know that God has supplied unto you His grace, that He has given you the gift of salvation. You are saved from your sins. Now this Jesus, who now rules at the right hand of the Majesty on high, it says in Hebrews 1 verse 4, being made so much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said He at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee? When God sent Jesus, at that time known as the Word, existing before in the heavens with the Father, when God sent Him from heaven to the earth, then this day have I begotten thee, it was said. He was referred to then as the only begotten Son of God. Now, when the statement was made, as you look at some of the big events in the history of Jesus on the earth and His ministry, the starting out with His baptism, then later on at the Mount of Transfiguration, and when the statement was made, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee, and again, I will be to Him a Father, and He shall be to me a Son. These are statements that were made both prophetically and then actually came to pass with God sending His Son upon the earth and Him accomplishing all these things. These things, as they occurred, showed that Jesus is far better, and that God could not do this with any angel. Any mere angel or regular messenger as a created being of God could not accomplish this task. But Jesus Christ can give Himself as the Son of God for all of our sins, did do so, and that means that He is so much better. And all these statements that are made in the Old Testament in preparation for Jesus Christ, they show that He was going to be so much better than any kind of angel could be. Now, verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 1 says, again, when He brings in the first begotten into the world, He says, let all the angels of God worship Him. Now, certainly you wouldn't say that of another angel, like Michael or Gabriel or something, but you would say it of Christ. And of the angels, God said this. This is Hebrews 1 verse 7. Who maketh His angels spirits and His ministers a flame of fire. Well, that seems like a very august thing to say about angels, doesn't it? But how does that compare to what the Bible says about Jesus Christ, the Son of God Himself? Unto the Son, you see, the Scriptures say, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Thy kingdom. Now, certainly you couldn't say that of any angel, but instead you would say that of divinity, of the divine Son of God Himself. Verse 9, Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even Thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Of certainly there is a close bond between Father and Son, and also there is an even closer bond, spiritually speaking, between the Heavenly Father and Son. All of their decisions are in harmony. Every action that can be spoken of as coming from one is in agreement with the other. And therefore, even though we speak of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, every time that something is done, there is no disagreement, heavenly speaking, or in any spiritual realm. There is only disagreement among man in our refusal to obey the divine message of God. But what does it say of the Son? Therefore God, even thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Jesus Christ, once again, is superior to any other spiritual being, any other angelic being, or any other created being that we may find on this earth. Among men or women, Jesus Christ is better. This is one of the main themes of Hebrews throughout the book, really, especially the first part of the book. Then we see, down in verse 10, And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. I'm reminded once again of John chapter 1, that without him was not anything made that was made. And as you look there at the description given unto Jesus as the Word, and later on to be known as the only begotten of the Father, we find that all the things that were created do perish, but Jesus remains. And in his great sacrifice for us, we find not only that he died for us, but that he also was risen from the dead. By the power of God, Jesus said, I have power to lay down my life, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father, John chapter 10, and Jesus Christ has done so. And having shown victory over death, it says, well, what about everything else that was created? Well, in the beginning, in Hebrews 1 verse 10, God laid the foundations of the earth, the Lord did, and the heavens and the works of thine hands, they shall perish. That's what happens to physical things. They wax old and they are destroyed as in a moment, but thou remainest, and they shall all wax old as does a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, the Bible says, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. This eternal Son of God, showing the purposes of God in himself, that God would reconcile the world unto himself through his Son, Jesus Christ, is the one that we are to listen to today. Many people are confused religiously. They look through the Bibles, but they do so in a willy-nilly fashion. They might open it up, and if they land in Genesis, they study on Genesis. If they land in Jeremiah, they look into Jeremiah. Same thing with Matthew or with Revelation. And yet they do not understand the will of Jesus Christ is clearly laid out for us in the Scriptures. In Matthew through John, we find the life of Jesus Christ described to us. These basic facts give us the core of the gospel, explaining unto us then what we need in order to respond to him later on. The book of Acts gives us several examples of conversion to Jesus Christ, showing a pattern for us to follow today. That's why I know that we must believe and be baptized in order to be saved. And then you go on through the book and you see how we're to live faithful unto God as the different letters were written to the early churches, beginning at Romans. So as you study these things in the Bible, we see clear direction from God through the will or covenant of Jesus Christ, showing us that he remains, that he is the victor over death, that he rules over his church and is alive even today, and from heaven looks down upon us to see whether or not we'll respond to his offer of salvation. The earth, yes, will grow old. It shall be destroyed. It shall perish, and everything that is therein. But those who will follow after God will have the victory which comes through Jesus Christ, the resurrection, and will live forever in eternal life. So it says then in Hebrews 1, verse 13, getting back to the idea that Jesus is better than the angels, But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Well, that's a good question, and it's a rhetorical question. Of course, he didn't say that at any time to any of the angels, but he did say it to Christ. Are they not, that is, the angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? This is Hebrews 1, verse 14. I'm not exactly sure as to the extent of the meaning of Hebrews 1, verse 14, but the overall meaning is that angels, or these spiritual messengers from God, existing as a certain kind of created being, have been given different ministries or jobs from God. And they are ministering spirits. That's the nature of what they are. But they are unlike the Son of God in that they could not fulfill the role of Jesus Christ. He is superior to them. Therefore, it was not told them to sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool, but it was said unto them that they should minister, that they should be these ministering spirits, and that they are sent forth for our help. Now, as we are helped in God's divine providence in every single way that God has planned for us to be helped so that we can serve Jesus Christ faithfully and truly while we live here in this present age, we also can devote ourselves to learning more of how Jesus lived and what he was like as a person. Because as we would reflect the glory of God and become more and more holy a people, then we do this only to the extent to which we can live more like Jesus Christ, walk in his footsteps, let everything about him endue our spirits, that is, be within us and cause us to be lifted up and to live good Christian holy lives. It is a shame that so many people inside the Lord's church should cause others to be turned off of the way of Christ because they never do conform themselves to the image of Jesus Christ to live as they ought to and to pay attention to his way. But we are called by God to pay close attention to the way of Christ and to look unto him to show us the way of glory and to give us the ultimate example of someone who never failed. Therefore, we go now to Hebrews chapter 2. It says, therefore, since Jesus, you see, is better than any angel, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Let what slip, God? Well, let them slip, the things that we, you know, have heard and been delivered unto us by the inspiration of God. For you see, if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, the things that they had received before under the earlier days, the earlier dispensation, the heads of families, the patriarchal dispensation, through the law of Moses, the Old Testament scriptures, if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, well, how shall we escape, he points out in Hebrews 2 verse 3, if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Therefore, you read about the life of Jesus Christ beginning in Matthew and going through John, and you listen to the words of the apostles as they record things about his life and his teachings and the response of people to that, and we accept these as the confirmed and inspired words of God, knowing that they must be true, we go forth and we try to live as closely as we can to Jesus Christ. Now, you know if whatever an angel says from God is absolutely sure, there's no doubt about it, then certainly what comes from divinity himself, what comes from Jesus Christ by the apostles to whom he gave special spiritual gifts, you know that has to be true. And that it is so much confirmed unto us that there can be no doubt. The Bible is completely the Word of God, and I'm sad to say we've got a lot of people that act as if they're not really sure. Oh yeah, they were brought up to respect the Bible. They have all kinds of confidence in the Scriptures, at least in principle. But when it comes down to their everyday actions, when it comes down to them actually confessing their faith, when it comes to them actually worshiping God faithfully, they're going to back off some from that. And when push comes to shove and temptation comes their way, well, it seems that the Scriptures are nowhere remembered, nowhere followed. So, we need to make sure that we have a sincere commitment before God, that our lives are truly dedicated to Jesus Christ, because if you would believe the word of an angel, how much more should you believe the word spoken by the Lord himself, and which was confirmed unto us? It was proven. There's no doubt about it. Therefore, Hebrews 2 and verse 4, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Shouldn't you listen to that kind of message? It's a powerful message. God showed it that it was true, and God shows through Jesus Christ how we can be made whole and free from sin. So, Hebrews 2, verse 5, for unto the angels he has not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, and crowned him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. The Lord is waiting patiently on people to listen to the gospel of Christ and to be in obedience to him. God loves us, and he wants all people to see just how exalted and good the way of Jesus is. But we see Jesus, Hebrews 2, verse 9, who was made a little lower than the angels. He took upon himself the form of a man, the form of a servant, and was truly a servant unto us, as you read in Philippians chapter 2. Picking up with the Bible passage again, it says that Jesus was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God he should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Jesus Christ was willing to suffer it all for us. And having shown us the way of salvation upon the cross, upon the third day, he rose from the dead. And therefore, those who are alive in Christ Jesus, dead to sin, but alive unto him, he will also bring with him into eternal habitations of glory. I'm talking about heaven itself. And this is the language of Scripture giving us the great promise through Jesus Christ that even though he tasted death for every man, he gives us the victory over death. For it became him, once again, Hebrews 2, verse 10, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. How great a Lord we serve! For, this is verse 11, both he that sanctifieth, and they who are sanctified, that would be me and you if you're a Christian, are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Isn't that something? Divinity willing to come down and to live like a man and to do all these things for us and have fellowship with us and make and pave the way for us to have fellowship with him forever. This is a great blessing. And God, therefore, is greatly to be praised in the sending of the heavenly word, Jesus Christ, to come down as the only begotten of the Father and to show us the sinless way to salvation. Well, what else does the chapter close out by teaching us about? Well, Jesus is not ashamed to call us brethren, but it also says then in Hebrews 2 and verse 12 that it was saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, and in the midst of the church I will sing praise unto thee. Are you living in fellowship with God today? Are you walking day by day in the footsteps of Jesus Christ? If not, then you're missing out on this great declaration from our Lord. You're missing out on all that God has waiting for you in Jesus Christ. And again, verse 13, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God has given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Jesus came down to this earth and lived, like I said, as a man, living in the flesh. This is Emmanuel, God with us. That through death, the Bible says, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Now, isn't that wonderful? Jesus Christ more powerful than the devil. Jesus Christ gaining the victory over Satan. Now has Satan no doubt howling because he cannot take the Lord's children away. But instead, they, having freely chosen to serve Jesus Christ, are safe in Christ. And so long as we decide to serve him, we'll remain safe. And deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. How awful it is to keep on living your days in sin, subject unto the will and the ways and temptations of the devil. Through Jesus Christ, you can know the same victory that others have known. And it says here in Hebrews 2, verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to secure them that are tempted. I know many times the devil tries to draw us away. Right now he's trying to get you to pay attention to something else, some other message, some other way. But God wants you to know there is no other way. In Jesus Christ and in him alone do you find full and complete forgiveness. In Jesus Christ, in obedience unto his gospel, that's the only way that you're going to know freedom from the guilt of sin, which is weighing you down right now. People oftentimes wonder, and it seems they're obsessed with it in America today, why am I not happy? What's wrong with me? It's because you're not going to the right source of healing. You're not listening to the only one who can take your sins away. If even an angel could not do it, but it took one who is better than the angels, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, then we must go to him, and there is no other source. Remember, God has spoken unto us in these last days. He's not going to give you another opportunity later on. He's not going to give you another life wherein he will say, well, maybe we'll give you a mulligan in that first life and you can go on in the second one and do a better job. No, no. This is the time now to make up your decision. Make up your mind. Are you going to serve Jesus Christ or not? And if you're going to serve Jesus Christ, why can't you start today? I speak to people and they act like, well, one day you're all, we'll make plans and we'll come and we'll be with you. And they talk about coming to church and they talk about changing their life, but they never seem to get around to it. But isn't today the day of salvation? Are you going to find any better Lord? Are you going to find any more loving God than to send His own Son? This is the only begotten Son of God we're talking about. And He implores you to come unto Him and to be saved from all of your sins. Has anyone else shown you that he can gain the victory over death? No, obviously not. Is anyone else now reigning from heaven over His kingdom, the Lord's church, and instructing us in the way to worship Him and to work for Him in spirit and in truth? No one. Only Jesus Christ. Therefore, there's nothing you're going to find in your life that's ever going to show you a better way. And there's no reason to wait on serving Jesus in the very best way possible, because every day is another one wasted unless you have become a New Testament Christian. Why not consider your obligation before God and your opportunity as a creature of God loved and provided for by Him to come and to worship His Son and to live for Him starting today? Why not come out and worship with us at the Mount Gilead Church of Christ? We start meeting at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study. Shortly after 10, we'll start into our worship service. And then at 6 p.m. tonight, we'll also be worshiping God again in our evening worship. If you have opportunity in the midweek, we'd love for you to come by and study the Bible with us on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Every time that you can, come by and see us. And perhaps together we can find that very best way from the Bible for us to serve God together and to worship Him as we know that we should. If there's any way that we can answer a Bible question for you, or if you have any special needs that you know the church could assist you with, then just give us a call at 487-5342. Write to us, P.O. Box 266, here at Tompkinsville, Kentucky, 42167, and come and to be with us and study the Bible with us by mail, or we'll come over and visit with you in your home, or you could come and visit us. In any way, we want to make sure that your spiritual needs are met and that every soul is prepared for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, I wish you would study upon some more of this book of Hebrews, especially in these first two chapters about the exalted nature of Christ. Understand that He is the way and the only one that we should ever follow. And I appreciate you listening to the broadcast this morning. Tune in again next week, same time, 8:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings, right here on this station. And we look forward to bringing you another lesson then. I'm Tim McHenry.